It just says so much. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let them have laughter. Remind us how it used to be. Like we look back and see how it used to be. And it's our responsibility to give them something good to look back on. Okay? Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. Never found anyone who could fulfill my needs. A lonely place to be, and I learned to depend on me. Yes. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. Okay, and they are looking at us. They are, and we have to show them the best things in life, the best things in life. So, hey, good evening, and welcome to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, focusing on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. So first, we are going to acknowledge God with the scripture and the prayer. And I just want to introduce our host. And, you know, God has brought us all together to serve in the way that he would have us to do our part in bringing awareness to what we need to do for our youth all around this world, okay? And so we have our very own Jacqueline Vandergriff. We have Rebecca Johnson. We have Callie Pierce. We have our young adult host, Shania Cox, and our youth host, Jacob Ribron. And, of course, we have that Bring It Up, our awesome Pastor O. Yep, Bring It Up the Rear, our awesome Pastor O from Runner for Christ Ministries and his biblical perspective. And we all look forward to getting that word at the end of our show. So welcome everybody. And we're going to start with our scripture. And that's
this is Clyburn, and can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Loud and clear.
Okay, because I was having a little difficulty getting on with you guys today. I don't know what it is with these cell phones. But anyway, to my co-hosts, Ms. Johnson, Ms. Pierce, the junior co-host. Maya and Mr. Jacob, Pastor O, the listening audience, I'm going to read A Living Sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraged. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord and the blessing of the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie. I love that scripture. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that we serve a powerful, faithful, generous, loving, and living God that hears and listens and answers and is able and who is bigger than all our problems. And we can cast all our cares on you because you care for us. We praise you and love you and thank you for guiding us and for knowing us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for waking us up again today. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short daily. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for handfuls of purpose and every opportunity to serve. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for all those who will participate and for each person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things and you guide us. We ask that you protect and keep us surrounded by your hedge of protection. We ask that you show us your favor and cause all the children to get a financial education. We ask that you help each of us to know how we can help on our block. Because we know that we can do nothing without you, we ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Johnson, Rebecca. Appreciate you guys. Thanks. Hey, let's get down to it. So listen, bring back the family. It is a call for the people to wake up, to get engaged, get involved, and make a difference. It's calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they're faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible? Who is willing to sacrifice and take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges and changes, support, and sacrifices, and meeting people where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who is willing? Who is going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch, running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community and people around us. Just picture it, parents, young people not having to worry about our adult child going out into the community, terrorizing and making a bad name for the family and making a bad name for themselves. So what are we going to make up in our minds to do? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? What? Bringing Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around the world, and all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation as parents and community comes from me and from you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them. Okay? So what do we propose to do? Bring Back the Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we need, what we needed to make it, and so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. It's just simply giving back, giving more than what we had because it's a different time and a different generational mindset. We just have to meet them where they are. Meet them where they are because that's what they did for us. So how do we propose? That's said, block by block. Do something on your block. Do something in your block to share, to care, love. Be a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. A good example for them to live and learn and to live by. Someone to look up to, okay? Good examples, okay? Okay, so some examples of what we could do. You could do book clubs, career fairs, the things that's important, the things that we need for them to make it that we had. We know what we needed, so we should know what they need. So focusing on the things that we know that they need, education awareness. They need to be in church. Just take them to church. God will do the rest. He will do the rest. You take them to church, the rest will be done when they get there, okay? Like I said, career fairs. Encouragement, just showing love, kindness, concern, smiling, being kind to one another, just letting them see that. Communication. We're missing a lot of the communication and the socialization with our youth. We're forgetting how to speak to one another, how to talk, how to just love and hug on each other and love on one another. We're forgetting how to do all of that, and it's not being done so that next generation is not getting it. They're not getting that one-on-one time, that good conversation. Just showing them how to be kind and being concerned about others, okay? Books, 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 books. They need lots of books. Start a book club on your block. Just be involved. Like I said, conversation, encouragement, showing love. It's the changing times, and our kids are needing more preparation than what we had. They need more. And so it's our responsibility, it's the family responsibility, and we play a big, important role in those responsibilities. Me, you, the community, the village, we already know what we need. We already know what they need, okay? Quality times. Books. Can't stress enough the books that need to be shared with the kids and get them used to reading. Because like I said before in other shows, our kids are being pushed through these systems and not knowing how to read. Okay? Good sense of community. Reading, reading, reading. What can you do on your block? Tell us what you've done on your block. Give us a report. So that we know that we are growing in this broadcast that we do every week. Okay? Yeah. So, hey, what are we doing on our blocks? Focus on a lot of our parents, kids. We got them focused basically on the wrong things. We're going to talk about undercover wealth and true riches. Train up a child for future investment. We teach them how to invest now, teach them the value of a dollar right now. They'll look at that dollar altogether different later, okay? They'll look at it differently. It's just a new generation. We have to come at them a whole different way. We, you know, as parents and community, a lot of times we're focused on the wrong things and we have emphasized on the wrong things like clothes and looks, the latest fashions, and most of those things are just not going to get us anywhere, okay? What are the things we should focus on, okay, while we're training up our children? Okay, what are the things that we should be focusing on? So we got a lot to cover today. We're going to just jump right on into it. And we're just going to talk about undercover wealth and the true riches of, conduct ourselves and how we use the materialistic things in the world to show our wealth and to show what we're about. And those are not the things that we're about, the material stuff. So we're going to get into it so we get a better understanding of what we're going to discuss today. And we're just going to open up. And if you want to have a word to say, just press 1 and we will put you in the host queue. And you could comment and discuss these topics with us, okay? So we're just going to go to Sister Rebecca, and welcome, and let's talk about the undercover wealth and the true riches, okay?
Our topic is the importance of looking poor and being rich in secret, because only the poor are trying to look rich. We need to get comfortable with looking poor. Image is a false god. Not only is it cheaper to look poor, it's safer to look poor. It's wiser to look poor, and it's important to look poor. Most of the truly rich are not spending on brand names, especially clothing. And if you are wearing brand names that cost a certain amount, you're tipping your hand. You are effectively advertising your wealth. A famous poet once said, never let no one know how much dough you hold, because you know cheddar breed jealousy, especially if that man works for the devil. I mean, you're making yourself a target if you wear designer clothes and shoes and participate in planned obsolescence, and that's where they're coming up with a new version of your phone, even though it doesn't really have anything new. It's just a new excuse for you to pay for another phone. Or the game systems. They come out with new game systems when the previous version works just as well. So people will see your flashy jewelry and your status car and your brand name shoes and your clothes and be attracted to you for the wrong reasons. The truly rich are concerned with how their bank accounts look and how their index funds are looking and how their investments are looking, and not their cars or their hair or their nails or their eyelashes or their purses and their cell phones and their shoes and outward appearances. One of Kat's kids told me that she was looking forward to the first day of school so she could show off her new Jordans. But we need to give our children financial education. They need to know the things that money can't buy, like health and love and relationships and time. And some people say that time is money, but actually time is far more valuable than money, because you can get more money, but you can't get more time. It's a long list of things that money can't buy.
Well, you know what? I'm listening to what you have to say, because there's certain, it depends on, it has a lot to do, because we, if that's the case, then we all will live like Amish people.
Well, my point is not that you don't want to become wealthy. It's just that you don't need to look wealthy.
No, see, first of all, number one, a lot of times what you're speaking about with the gaudy jewelry, this big, thick jewelry, all these thick eyelashes, the different colors of hair, some of the things that they put on because they have these expensive bags and they really have no style. That is put out there because it's a market capitalization. And with the market capitalization, they want you to have this facade of an image. But you have nothing, because the true wealthy is not a person with $1 million or $2 million or $5 million or $10 million. Small cap in the market capitalization starts at $300 million to $2 billion.
Oh wow.
Mid cap is $2.1 billion to $10 billion, and large cap is $10.1 billion and above. But they use the market capitalization because what they do. I remember a lady. She was, and I read about her. I didn't know her personally. She was so poor. She had about $100, and this was many years ago, and that's all she had.
Okay.
She bought these painter, you know, the painter jumpsuits, and she bought different color paint, and she bought these paint brushes, and she stuck them all into the different paints, and she just splashed it over all of these jumpsuits, like art. And she put two or three in different parts of the city, and then all of a sudden, and they had a necklace on, you know, costume jewelry, and they was walking around with it, and somebody else drove somewhere else. Then it started to be a demand for it. This lady made enough money to get herself out of debt, and it was a fashion statement because she knew how to capitalize on the market. People want what is projected to them, but I agree that we need to learn how to save our money. I have my coach. Now, you never would know that he buys most of his clothes from a secondhand store. But he has a very expensive, car. But what he did, because he has the license, that he could do roll over someone's 401k and show them how to cut the middleman and go straight to the market. And because he educated them how to get a higher interest rate and not going getting these CDs and things that are supposed to be secure rate because they take your money and they put it in the market and make money off of your money. I think Pastor was speaking about that compound interest in the last time we spoke. But he would also have doubled the money before he bought what he bought.
That's a beautiful example, too, because he has money and he knows how to invest.
When he bought his condominium, he bought the condominium. It's a nice condominium. Somebody had lost it and he bought it, cash money. But before he bought the condominium, he made sure he had the same amount of money that he had saved. And so the nice things that he bought, what happened is he made sure he could buy it twice. So he's saving for his future. But the few things that he likes, those are some of the toys he likes, but he makes sure he's able to buy it twice. It's being smart with your money. And see, what our children are not taught is that we don't have to impress society.
That's right.
Now, I made a statement earlier, and I'm not calling this person's name, but they have a nice fur. They don't wear that fur to the grocery store every time they walk out the house to have a fur on. They go into Family Dollar, they don't have that fur on. But when it's the right place for them to be appropriate with that fur, in the right circle with that fur, they pull the fur out and they wore it to the right affair. So
yes, and it's good to have beautiful, nice things and condominiums and beautiful, wonderful cars. But let's have the fur and the car and the condominium and the appearance of after we actually have wealth.
But that's what I did say.
I agree.
The man, he made sure he could buy it twice. See, the thing about it is we all have some form of money. It's what we do with our money. Some people take their money and they will spend it on different things. Okay, good example. I remember I used to take, and people would say, wow, that's ridiculous. But I used to, and I didn't do it for the last 2 years because recovery from COVID. But I used to buy perineums, and they were expensive perineums. They came back every year. But I would buy those in honor of my mother and father, who was no longer here, and loved ones that had passed on. But I spent the same amount of money. I just had a different reason that somebody else spent some money over here. When I spent that money, I didn't have that same amount of money that, like my coach, when he spent money, that he had the same amount that he saved. What I hear you saying is that we need to be disciplined enough not to actually, and I wanted to put that in for the audience because I know where you're coming from, okay? What I hear you saying is that don't spend everything you have and be, Your look is one way and you're broke.
That's it.
But see,
you're wearing all your money.
Right. But I wanted the listening audience to know that what you were saying, and I had to paint a picture, that what you're saying, don't be eyelash broke. Don't be whatever designer bag broke. Don't be at the point of being broke that you cannot pay the light and gas bill. But when you walk outside, you got $1,000 a purse and red bottom shoes, but yet and still you don't have a dining room table for your children to sit at.
Yeah, that's it. Our youth should leave home knowing the difference between true riches and outside appearances.
Right. But and, see, the thing about it is we were not taught. Somebody made the statement. Do you know, they asked this question. Now, I do know some history of great grandparents, okay? But the average person, do you know, most people know who their grandparents are, their great grandparents, but do you know your great great-grandparents and your great-great-great-grandparents. Do you know those people? And they said the reason why they don't know those people, because when you look at in the Ford home, in the mansion, you got a big portrait of the person that was the leader that developed all of this for the family to have a legacy. We don't know some of our history because nothing was left, but our parents was not taught.
No, this education about finances is the new Underground Railroad. It's secret knowledge for a lot of communities. And like you said, we weren't taught.
But see, the thing about it is that, and something that we have been working on the show, one of the things, the company that I'm with and I'm licensed and have been federally cleared to do what I do, federally and state cleared. I have a license. But the point is that we are the only ones that really work with middle-income people, working people, to show them the vehicle that you need to use in order to get to the next level. See, we can all drive down the street, and we can all pump the same amount of gas. But there's one vehicle going to the right and one going to the left. Some of them will get more mileage of the dollar than others. So it's the vehicle where you put your money and learn how to save money. A good example with myself. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, and this is a form of what you call wasting money, okay? Every morning, five of us would go to the 7-Eleven there on Southfield Road. And we call ourselves the Coffee Club. We met at 7-Eleven. None of us knew each other prior. But as every morning, we all came and got coffee, so we started talking, we the Coffee Club. And I always would get my sister a large coffee, and I would get Jacob a Coke hot chocolate because he was a part of the Coffee Club. And so I was spending $2 for a large, her $2, and myself, with him, a hot chocolate was $1. It was a small hot chocolate. Lunchtime, we came back. The Coffee Club, and we would do it again. Well, most likely my sister wasn't greedy like I was, because I would break mine all up. She would break hers down in separate. She would drink some here and she would drink some there. Most of the time she'd give me the rest of it and I'd drink it, because I, like I said, I'm greedy. But she would put Splendor in hers and I drank mine black. To make a long story short, we did it that evening. You know, we get our night coffee, five of us. So one day, I would get her enough Splendor. So one day I asked the lady, "You don't have any Splendor out here. You only have two packs." She said, "We hid it from people like you." I said, So me being an analytical type person I am, I get the calculator out on the phone and I start adding up how much I was spending every day on coffee, which was $15. Multiply that by 30. Then I said, okay, I wrote that down. I multiplied the, what everybody else was spending, and I wrote that down. Come to find out, it was somebody's salary. It was somebody's income they brought home. I shouldn't have been the one that they hid the sugar from. But because they hid the sugar and I might not know why, maybe the Lord was trying to tell me that look how much money you're wasting every month. If you had cut half that down, you could have saved that money in the market and had yourself a nice little nest egg. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know why the young lady did what she did, but I was wasting money. Well, somebody else might go buy them eyelashes, but I was over here wasting money getting coffee. So what we do now, every now and then we'll get a cup of coffee, which it'll be a good cup of coffee, but normally we get the coffee in the pack box for a dollar. Sometimes you can get it for a dollar, sometimes it's $1.25. But we get the box of coffee, and I think you have seven in there. That's seven cups of coffee for that dollar. And we have a cup of coffee. But now, every time I fix a cup of coffee, if I was smart, and I'm just thinking this came back through talking to you on the show, I would have put that $2 in somewhere and saved it and kept that $2 and sent it to over into the market every month, transferred it over there to make up for when I was spending that kind of money. You see what I'm saying? So we all have money. It's just that we have a vice. Somebody got a vice somewhere. Some of them might like desserts. Some people like to go out to dinner. Some people like to go and have out for happy hour. Some people like to go to the movies every weekend, or out somewhere for entertainment every weekend. But yet still, they might not be spending money. But when Miss Kathy spoke about it, and I think you had brought it up, why put yourself in danger for somebody to rob you and you go home with no shoes on if you have your keep your life? That's another factor, because people out there, no, they don't want to work, but they want to go to work and take from other people.
Right.
That can happen anyway, but you're setting yourself up as a target. And I understand exactly what you're saying. It's just that I just want to be the one speaking for the advocate, for the one that's out there that's not speaking up on the radio, that we need to tweak. You don't need to take everything, because you're not Amish. You don't need to take everything from you. But I think what Ms. Johnson is saying to the listening audience is that we have to prepare for tomorrow. We need to tweak down until we can build our finances. Some of us right now are in society past what they call the savings, but you're really not. Because even if you save for your children's, you're leaving something. Now, I'm going to switch a little bit, Ms. Johnson. As you know, I'm an avid reader. And I remember reading a bill, and I can't remember that House bill, but it was the bill that was approved, and somebody might be able to pull it up, for the Indian nationality. I think they call them indigenous people now, but it was for the American Indians. And they got a special bill that was passed for them. And inside bills that like that, other people want to put little things in there so they can benefit. And one of the benefits was is that where it was legal for them to buy so many bonds or shares or stock from the Treasury company, from the Treasury, U.S. Treasury, because every federal agency pays the U.S. Treasury every month rent for those federal bills. When they get the budget for the run that operation, in that overhead cost factor, in that slot, they have to have so much set aside for the rent of that building. That money goes to the Treasury Department. When you buy bonds for it, what the wealthy do is they gift their children these bonds. And when they go to college, they have an income coming in from that bond every month because they send them a portion of that money every month. And that's money that's lifetime money.
And I imagine these people that have the foresight and the education to give their children bonds are not concerned with how they look.
No. Their kids are normal kids out there at the universities just like everybody else. When they shop, now another young lady, when she went to college, I'm not going to call her name, she was born rich. Young black, young girl, young lady. She was born rich. So she was at the university and all her clothes came from, and she was not a type of flashy person, but she always had quality, but she wasn't flashy, but she was rich. So when she would go out shopping with her friends, her parents put so much on a card, and she said to her mother one day, "Mama, why did you treat me so bad?" And the mother said, What? Explain yourself. She said, "My friends, they go and put stuff in the layaway, and you never did that for me. And they go and get credit cards, and I don't have to get a credit card. Why would you treat me so bad?" Because she never knew. Because her mother knew how money works. And she stayed away from the credit cards because the credit cards is the compound interest that works against you. And she didn't at the time understand that why she was not exposed to this because it's not a behavior that you should want to have. And she was born rich, but she wanted to be like everybody else. Wore quality, expensive clothes. Might have not been flashy, but they were quality. But the point is that while she was in college, and she tells this story, she wanted to be like the other girls that were in college. But the other girls that were in college needed that credit card to be able to eat. They needed that credit card to have at least some of the things that they had to buy. You know, they go grocery store and shopping and the detergent and whatever. She didn't realize.
Miss Jackie, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. When you finish, we got some other callers that want to comment.
No, let them come in because we're stealing time. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I think, Rebecca, did you have, were you finished with your presentation? Okay, let's see. It's 2-7. Yeah, you come back. You could come back with me.
Let's hear the caller's question.
Okay, 2736. You're on the family.
Yes, I just had a few comments to make dealing with money and children. I'm still on the east side of Detroit. Anyway, tomorrow... Mm-hmm. Like I'm taking my 7-year-old grandson and another little boy to Junior Achievement downtown Detroit on Lionel Street. They're having a family and friends day to teach the kids money management. Now, Junior Achievement, usually they say they work at schools and the schools have to request it. A lot of people don't utilize Junior Achievement, or they don't request it from the school. So that's another way. And these are 7 years old. So they go in elementary, middle school. So it would be nice to contact the Junior Achievement of downtown Detroit here, southwestern Michigan. They're all over the U.S. And another thing is the young lady, Gail Perry Mason, every summer she does thing, Money Matters for Youth. It's a money camp. She does this every year. You can contact her. In fact, she has a Facebook and, or you can go on their website. It's called Money Matters for Youth, where she teaches youth about money management. And there was one other thing I had. I sent my grandkids to the Charles Wright Museum, have a summer camp, like only $10. That's dealing with they teach you. They had some Egyptian mummy there. But anyway, it's called the African Camp. It's only $10, and a lot of people aren't aware of that. That's at the Charles Wright Museum in downtown Detroit. So I was just thinking of some avenues dealing with money management for kids. So this lady, Gail Perry Mason, and the name of her group is Money Matters for Youth. And that's just when she teaches the kids about stocks, and she's just good, okay? She does that once a year, but other than that, she does postings. That's how I found out about this Junior Achievement thing they're having tomorrow downtown. And I'm bringing, you know, I told you 7 years old there, and they, you know, give kids, I guess, just teaching them money management. So I just wanted to make that comment to the, you know, Junior Achievement downtown Detroit and the other group, Money Matters for You. And then also the Charles Wright Museum every summer, and it's only like $10 a week. And I send my grandkids there, and it's really a nice program that is not really utilized.
It is a very nice program, but there's what is the cap on the age?
Oh, wow, because I sent some, how old was them kids, 11 or 12, far as the Charles Wright. You can Google it and find out under education.
I know we used to take you there, and he was a part of that summer camp, but I believe that it goes up to a certain grade, but it is, I mean, they really work with the children and on so many different levels. from
so what are they offering there?
It's
for
summer camp.
Let me just say this. I sent some kids there, not this summer, it was the last summer, and they had was learning about their, it was dealing with African history. I know they had, I think it was King Tut when I sent, that was the summer before last. He was there. But they also have membership. There's a senior membership and there's a student membership. And that would be nice if some people might consider getting kids the student membership and, you know, take them, walk them through there. It's a beautiful display that they have. If you go through from the time period, I visited there from the beginning. I'm a senior, so it's, I think it's 15 or 35. I can't remember what I paid for membership there. But they go from the beginning of slavery all up to the day. If you go walk, do the walkthrough, it's just very engaging and educational.
Well, you know, you have to get the kids enrolled there by March because they fill up very fast. I think their open registration is in March.
Yeah, because I know I did it, and luckily when I did it, they didn't have a lot of openings because a lot of people don't know about it. But the other one, that Junior Achievement, I'm going to get some more information. I'm going there tomorrow to find out about, you know, dealing with if it's just going into schools. I know they go into schools. That's what the lady said. But do they have any other events to deal with money management for you, for kids? So that's something that needs to be utilized that, you know, just not really recognized and used. And it's right here in the city of Detroit, in downtown Detroit on Leonard Street.
Great.
That's all my comedy is, okay?
That's some good information. Yeah, I remember Junior Achievement back in the day, so I didn't know that they still had it going on. So that's some really good information. And it's important
it's
to get
Leonard
that.
Right, on Leonard Street downtown. You can give them a call.
Yeah, it's important to get that financial literacy early on with our youth. That's just going to have to be something new that we're going to have to do so that they can focus on, you know, money matters versus the material things and looking apart and all of that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Another
thank
lady
you.
Is good, too. Okay, so that's all my comments.
Thank you very much. Well, just hang on if you want to, you know, have anything else, just jump on in. Okay.
All right.
Mother Irma, did you have something? Okay. We can continue. Thanks. That was some good information. We wrote that down, Junior Achievement.
That was real good.
Mhm. Yeah, and Gail Perry Mason. I remember her.
Let me see. Like she does that. But she works with you. She has she works not just in the summertime, but if you go on her Facebook or if you go on her webpage, just look at events. And she's always posting things. And she's really inspired a lot of young people to be entrepreneurs or, you know, teaching them stocks, how to read the Wall Street paper and all that stuff. So she's a good person. If you have a youth group, maybe she can, you know, give you some avenues, or maybe, you know, she might do a presentation. She's very good.
And that's good. Now, that's just introducing them to it, you know, because if they hear it, they'll get interested in it. You know, it's just like telling informing somebody something over and over again. If they hear it, they'll get used to it. If they don't hear it, they won't know nothing about it. And that's what's been happening to our youth. We don't expose them enough. And so
one
good information.
She takes them out to at the finale of her youth camp. She take them to a nice restaurant and teach them about to dress. And where's the place setting? So, she's a good contact person.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay, great. Now, is she? I'm trying to think. She's not, that might be somebody else. Okay, good deal. There's another one, I think is, what is his, your, Anita Baker was married to him. What's his name?
Walter
Bridgeforth. His sister is a financial coach as well. So is that the same person?
No, that's a different person.
I think that's a different person, but, you know, you put them all in the hat and somebody doing something.
Right, right. Good deal. Yeah. I think I read both of their books. Yeah. I'm getting them kind of mixed up, though. Yeah. Okay, good deal. Good information. Okay. Miss Jackie, Miss Johnson, you have anything else?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. No, Ms. Johnson? Just wanted to emphasize getting our children a better concept of finances than I had when I came out. And I didn't have very much at all information about how to be wise with your money. And just that appearances are not important, and that our kids need to leave the home with the knowledge that it's difficult to know who is truly rich just by looking at them. And that's all.
Right, judging people, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good deal. I was going to say something about that. Yeah, and you know, you really learn to do better as you get older because I know we weren't, you know how we say that we didn't even know that we were poor when we were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they taught us more about love and being kind and treating people well. And we had clothes that came out of other people's homes. And people used to give us hand-me-downs, and my mother used to wash them and iron them and press them up, and they looked like new. So clothes and things like that were not things were not at the forefront of our brain. We were really focused on how we treat people and love, and it didn't matter if we had a whole bunch of clothes, a whole bunch of shoes and things like that. And I just remember, you know, each time one of us got a job, we was able to go buy our clothes, you know, the clothes that we wanted. And so when I did start to buy clothes, because I said, okay, I'm going to get me a job, I'm going to buy my own clothes. And so, but it really wasn't a big deal. And as I got older, I really don't care nothing about clothes or shoes.
Okay.
You know, back then, I might have had a whole bunch of shoes and a whole bunch of clothes. But it still wasn't a big deal about, you know, it wasn't really a big deal in my life. But, yeah. Go ahead.
Let me say this. Mm-hmm. What you said was is that your mother got the clothes, she washed them, she ironed them. You were, when you stepped out, you represented the family. Your appearance was important. Today, you have young people that will wear a head rag or a bonnet or pajamas or house shoes. Whatever they have on, that's what they come out of the house and they will go places with.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't get away.
We can't get away with how we look. I don't think it's that that's the point of the whole matter. The point is that we should be focusing on money matters instead of just being focused on and putting all our money and resources on material stuff. Yes, you go out the house and you go clean. Just like I said, we were clean. We didn't care about what brand it was because we didn't know nothing about brands. You know, yes, you're going to be clean when you go out. But
I teach and I teach families about money matters.
Mm-hmm.
I teach about the secrets of money.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is that, and like one lady said to me, she said, when you share, because see, at one time I got kind of upset because people, unless you were in their clique,
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, whatever you had to say to share money matters with them, it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. But what I was told is this. My job is to share the information.
Mm-hmm.
If they choose not to listen, that's not my call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I teach money matters.
Mm-hmm.
I am licensed to teach money matters. But my call is to share the information.
Mm-hmm.
If they choose not to listen, I was told that's not my responsibility. But the point is, and I think we speak about this on the show because
mm-hmm.
we're trying to educate people. But the thing about it is that it's an art to it. And that's why we only have 2% that are at a level and 98% not, because people don't, they listen, but they don't react to it. They don't focus on it, and they don't
mm-hmm.
move to on it. It's not a priority. And once
yeah.
we that is a priority, and to listen when somebody is telling you the truth about something,
mm-hmm.
listen to it and investigate it and see what it's worth. Because the thing about it is things are moving so fast that
mm-hmm.
Just looking at the cost of living today, I was listening at how society has, the inflation has jumped the highest that it has jumped in 41 years. You almost can't buy anything today. And there's a reason behind a lot of this. So, you know, when you're sharing it, you're not trying to talk about, you know, we all are talking about one thing, taking care, covering our income, and learning how to cover our income. And once we do that, and once we share that, that's all we can do. And that's
yeah.
all I have to say.
Yeah, and so that's that was some good information that the caller had talked about, because Bring Back the Family is focused on the youth, and this is what, like you're saying, we're trying to get the parents and the kids to teach the young person, the young people about money management. So this is focused on the youth. And we're trying to bring awareness, and that's what this show is about, bringing awareness to what we need to do for our young so that they can have what they need to make it. So those were some good comments and some good information that we can use to give to the kids on our block when we get busy on our block and introducing our kids, ourselves to the kids on our block and doing something to help them in their future. So that's was some good information, the junior achievement, really like that. And the information on Gail Perry Mason, like you say, we could go to Facebook and look up her website, her name, put that in Google and see the information that she has, write it down and just try, you know, start getting our youth interested in money management and things like that, so that they, you know, won't be, we're going to give them just a new vision. They don't have to worry about the material stuff and all these things that they, you know, gravitate to, you know, the cell phones are such a distraction for our young folks. And so if we give them something more to focus on that's going to help them, introducing them to finance, introducing them to money, then I'm sure they'll love that too, just like they love those phones. So, okay, so thank you, Jackie, and the callers that came in with all that good information. And we're going to, let's see, go. If we don't have anyone else that has a comment, you could press one. Other than that, we are going to go to our awesome Pastor O. And let me see. Okay, there we go. Pastor O, are you with us?
Yes, indeed.
Hey there.
Yeah, this is that conversation right here. This is that, you know, I remember when the Lord wanted me to get into money, because, you know, I don't like, well, I like money, but he know it don't have me. I'd rather have him and then be a good steward right. over what he gives me. So we'll talk about that. But he had me to watch T.D. Jakes, and I didn't want to watch it because I figured he was just going, you know, hey, spit it in the air and spin around three times, and if it don't hit you, God finna bless you. I thought it was going to be some teaching like that. But instead, it was something completely different. And I think I spent a good deal of time learning from him, because he was talking about real things to do to increase the wealth that God has given you. And this is a good conversation to have, because we need to stop trying to make our kids' lives better than the life we had. We don't even really know what that means. I mean, when we talk about the life we had that turned us into the awesome people we are today, we don't want them to have that. I mean, how can they have a life when they don't know how to respect their elders, okay, when they don't know the answer to what's 2 + 2, when they've graduated but can't read? Is that a life better than ours? Or did you mean they're going to live in a better house than I did, they're going to wear better clothes than I did, and everything I couldn't get, I'm going to give them? And look what they've turned into today. So that's not working. What we need to do is, you know, I used to go up to my father and I'd say, Daddy, can I have a nickel? And he would look at me and say all kinds of stuff like, if I give it to you, I make a poor hustle out of you. I'm like, so what in the world does that mean? Is that a yes or no? But then he would say, I'll tell you what you can do to earn that. And he would say it would be something above what we had to naturally normally do, because we had our chores, right? You're not getting paid to mop the floor. You're not getting paid to take out the garbage or wash the dishes. You're not getting paid to paint or wash the walls or whatever. Back in the day, you washed walls, okay? But if I ask you to go outside and move the bushes from the front to the back, I'll pay you for that. If I ask you to go outside and do what you normally do all the time for free, tear up the grass, I'll pay so I can put down some sod, I'll pay you for that, okay? What he was trying to teach us is how to manage money, how to make money, and then how to manage it. I used to say, Daddy, can I have a nickel? He'll say, yeah, well, it took me a whole week to earn this nickel. You're going to go down the street and spend it in 5 minutes. He was trying to teach me the importance of being careful how you spend the money that you get, okay? If the Lord, the Bible talks about sex and money more than anything else. Yeah, sex and money more than anything else. And God is very intentional about the money he gives us. I mean, in Matthew 25, Jesus talks about a man who went on a trip, but before he left, he called three people in, and he gave them according to their ability and their financial knowledge, okay, their financial aptitude. He gave them some money, said, here, work this for me till I come back. Okay? They got it according to their ability. So they had the ability to do the best with what he gave them. Only one failed at it. The first two doubled it. And he come in and your master's joy. You've been faithful over a few things. It's going to make you master over many. That's why a lot of us struggle in our finances, especially as Christians. Because can our Father in heaven, can our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ really trust us with money? If Jesus gave, if the Lord has watched us with every single penny that has ever come into our possession. He knows, it's clocked, it's written down what we did with it, how we thought about it. Okay? And so he knows us, and his, what he wants to do is work with us so that we become financially literate. A lot of people say, Lord, I want to be rich. Really? Then why don't you understand finances? Why aren't you watching CNBC? Why aren't you taking classes on how to handle the riches after you get them? A lot of people get rich. I was on YouTube the other day, and I was watching a whole lot of folks who got rich, made millions, and then lost them all. Okay? It was easy for them to get the money using the skills that they had to get it. But what skills, but they didn't have any financial management skills, and they lost it all. And all of them, even Ed McMahon, they all say the same thing, right? I was just writing checks. I was just signing checks. I didn't know what was coming in and going out. That's not a good steward, okay? Jesus told us over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, which as far as kids go, he didn't just want you to teach them the Bible. He also wanted you to teach them financial management skills. We talked about Joseph last week. I believe we talked about Joseph and the skills God gave him to run a country. But he learned them skills from his father when he was coming up as a little boy. In Luke chapter 19, I think starting at 11, and some following verses after that, Jesus talks about giving three people the same amount. Now, if we go back to Matthew 25, we've learned that he only gives you according to your ability, right? And so these three got 10 apiece, and they all had the ability to double it, but only one of them did. One went halfway, brought back five more than what he got. And one just came back with the one, and he was feeling funny like the other one. So what is the difference here? One went all in with the ability that he had. He was able to practice delayed gratification. The one might have made some money, spent some, made some money, spent some, made some money, spent some. It's like the people who pay their credit card, right? Then go spend it up, pay their credit card, go spend it up. That's what he was into. And the other one was even worse than that. Had the ability to double it, but didn't. Okay? And so the Lord is intentional about us doing, increasing what he gives us. In Ephesians, I believe it's 4:28, he even tells us, excuse me, that if we have previously up to this time been getting our money a funny way, he says, learn how to work an honest job. And then he even goes further to tell us what to do with the money once we make it. Give to those who are in need. When Jesus increased the two fish, five loaves to feed 5,000, right? He increased it to feed 5,000. He didn't increase it to go buy a new car. He didn't increase it to go get his hair did. He didn't increase it. You see where I'm going with this? But that is all we think about. And that is why we are, you can go into projects and see Mercedes. Really? You don't even have apartment outside of public housing, and you got a Mercedes. That's why you're in public housing. Okay? The Lord expects us to use wisely what he gives us. He clearly wants us to increase it. And whatever God has given you, guess what? He knows you have the ability to increase it. In Matthew 25, he gave him five. He came back with 10. Why? Because he had the ability to double it. Gave him four. He came. Gave him two. Came back with four. Why? He had the ability to double it. The ability is when you go and educate yourself, okay? There was a man Jesus told a story about in Luke chapter 16. He was a manager of another man's property. and he wasn't good at it. And he was going to get fired. He recognized that he couldn't work with his hands because he wasn't that kind of person. He was a pencil and paper pusher, so he wasn't going to go out and work with his hands to make money. So he devised this scheme to call everybody in who owed the man he worked for, cut their bill in half. Now, he did that because he knew he was getting ready to get fired. Who do you think he went to get help when he got fired? Now, even though what he did was wrong, Jesus commended him. It says in verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. The Lord says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now the picture gets a whole lot bigger. Now, when we get to heaven, what we did, what we had while we were here is going to affect that. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, you can't do any of this if you're financially illiterate. If every time the Lord gives you some money, you run straight to a store or some kind of place of entertainment to give it to them, then he might as well have skipped you and given it to them, or just take it and give it to the corporation, because that's what you're going to do with it. Amen? We don't think about delayed gratification. We don't think I'm not going to spend now. You know how Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, how Deaconess Kathy says all the time, we can pay now or pay later. We can neglect these kids now and pay later, or we can help these kids now and benefit later. Okay? If we cannot stop running around here trying to pretend like we're rich, you know, I heard the numbers that Jackie put out there, 2%. Have most of the wealth in America, 2%, okay? 3% make over $50,000. The 95% make less than that. So that means there's a whole lot of perpetration going on. There's a whole, I remember this commercial used to come on television. This man would be in this big house on his riding lawnmower. And when you look at that scene, you'd be like, see, Jesus, that's how I want to be. But then when you turn the television up, you find out that the man is drowning in debt, and he's riding around on that lawnmower in circles talking about somebody help me. I don't know what it is about us, but we want so badly to look good in other people's eyes. And we will just walk around wearing lies, driving lies, living in lies. Remember in 2008, we suddenly found out that 2 million people was not qualified to live in the $250,000 house they were living in. Then we had the big old mortgage bag security failure, and the economy crashed. And guess what? We're headed for it again. Let me tell you why we're headed for it again. And this conversation is why we're headed for it. If you remember during COVID, we couldn't go nowhere. Excuse me. Got it that time. Okay, during COVID, we couldn't go nowhere. We were shut down. God shut the whole planet down. Couldn't nobody go nowhere. Couldn't nobody do anything. And guess what happened? We saved money. We saved lots of money. We couldn't even go get our favorite $7 Starbucks coffee every day. You know, I remember when I was smoking cigarettes and I headed it up. It was $2,400 a year. Since 2009, I've been able to save $2,400 a year because I don't smoke no more. Okay? But during the pandemic, people were actually able, they probably didn't want to, and they were complaining about it. They couldn't go to their favorite restaurant, closed. Couldn't go to a whole lot of stores, everybody scared to death of COVID. Plus, the stores didn't have anything on the shelves, supply problems. So whether we wanted to or not, we saved. But then the pandemic got over with. And guess what? We hit the ground running. And we haven't stopped spending yet. But they say in 2024, the people who had saved up all that money and been spending all that saved money, been spending all that stimulus money, been spending all that PPP loan money, well, that's running out. And people are getting back to where they were before all of that. The people who were getting extra money even on their bridge card, well, they're not getting that anymore. The people who weren't paying student loans, well, they got to pay those student loans now. And people are starting, and then when the inflation hit, okay, then that dollar turned into 50 cents. But we're still spending like it's a dollar. And it never ceases to amaze me. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody probably going to trip on this. But every now and again, my wife and I like to go to the casino. I love to get us something to eat. And then I love to go into the game room. I just love it, especially being a pastor, when people who see you say you almost have a heart attack. But anyway, you see people taking a lot of money and treating it like an investment, like this is an investment in the stock, and I'm going to make a lot of money. But that's usually not the case. What they provide is entertainment. And what's running out is all this saved up money that we had. And we're coming to 2024, and that saved up, but they're saying, unless something else happens, and it happens quicker, by Christmas, people are going to start feeling the pinch. And it's already showing up in the car market, because when inflation just boomed everything up, people's credit cards bills went up. People wanting to buy a house had to put them plans on hold because the interest rates are far too high. And all of these inflation costs have gone up, and all of the free money that we were getting to cover this and to cover that is cut off. And now reality is setting in. People are giving back cars they bought. The average car is like $47,000, new car, $47,000 or more. The average note is $740 or more per month. Well, it doesn't take long to empty out the coffers if you don't have anything to put in the coffers to fight off these new expenses. And sooner or later, you look at that account that was $25,000, it's now $5,000. Mm-hmm. And you can just guesstimate how long it's going to take for that to run out. So what we need to do, long story short, is learn how to practice delayed gratification. Learn how to prepare yourself for the disasters that's coming. And teach your children about money. Have them to set up a little store in the house, okay? And teach them about inventory. Teach them, okay, I want you to sell these cookies, okay? This pack of cookies cost you $10. Now, you're going to need to be able to buy another pack of cookies after you sell these. So how much do you need to sell each one of these cookies? How much do you need to sell each one for so that you're able to make $10 to buy another bag of cookies and make a profit from the cookies you already bought? And you teach them how to manage money. Give them an allowance and let them go out and frivolously spend it up in 5 seconds. And then when they ask you for some more money, you have to wait till you get your allowance. Then they'll learn not to live check to check. The House Speaker that was just voted into the House to be the Speaker of the House of the United States lives check to check. Yes, he has no savings account on record. He lives check to check. He make $174,000 a year, live check to check. But as Speaker, it's go up to $223,000 a year. but he's in a bad financial situation. Why? Bad money management. Bad money manager. And so we have to teach our kids about money. And we have to teach them delayed gratification. Like I said, it's a member of our church, and she has a son, and she has taught him so well how to handle his finances that he doesn't have to – he's grown now, but he doesn't have to bother her for anything. He takes care of all his own bills. He even understands if I want that coat that costs $150, it's going to lower my bank account by $150, or it's going to add to my credit card $150. He understands how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. He also understands I can get it, but I need to practice delayed gratification. I need to get it in a way that it doesn't hurt me but helps me. And I need to take care of what I get. Why? Because I cannot tell you how much money I make selling stuff that I bought several years ago from drag racing. I bought a whole lot of parts I thought I needed, but I didn't. But I took care of that stuff. And now I'm selling that stuff. Just the other day, I sold some stuff. So we need to get serious about, when we get serious about our money, then the Lord will get serious about blessing us with more money. But if we're messing up everything we get now, like the prodigal son, if we think we rich, dress like we rich, talk like we rich, act like we rich, okay, like you know that prodigal son, when he got that big old check from his father and he took off into that far country, that boy thought he was rich. He thought that money was never going to run out. But a few times throwing it up in the air in the club and buying everybody drinks, after a while, he wasn't rich at all. It was gone. And then if you look at the rich young ruler, he rode up to Jesus, a wealthy, rich man. But he rode away from Jesus, finding out that wealth is not all wrapped up in money. He wanted to inherit eternal life. But when he left Jesus, all he had was some money. So was he really rich? Or was he about to be poor as soon as he passed away and all that's gone? That's what he said to this man. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. So when it's gone, when you pass away, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. That means you'll get what the man in Luke 19 got and what the man in Matthew 25 got. You'll get to hear Jesus say this about the way you handled the money he gave you. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. Can God say that to you? Amen. Do you want to give your children more when they mess up like my father used to say? You think money grow on trees? It's made from trees, but it don't grow on them.
Right.
So we have to teach our kids how to handle money because, you know, they might have to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
I know you want them to be able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to prepare them for that because that is where they're going. That is reality. But we are so good at faking like we're rich, faking like we just got it all, buying $7 cups of coffee. Are you not thinking straight?
Right. Yeah.
You know. Going, a lady spent, what was that, $1,800 and some odd dollars to see Beyonce, and she was in row 25. Yeah.
Hmm.
So just because, like I tell my wife all the time, if I was rich, I still wouldn't buy a $7 cup of coffee.
Right. Amen.
You know, being rich don't mean you have to be stupid. You know what I mean? And I don't like going to places where rich people eat because they treat them like they crazy. They bring you your stuff. It's in the middle of the plate. Got a little green piece of parsley laying over there.
Right.
And something dribbled on whatever they gave you in the middle of your plate. And they want $70 for that. I'm like, you must be all the way out your mind. When I went to the Renaissance, right, Sheila wanted to spin around in circles. So we went up to the Renaissance and sat up there and spun around in circles. They brought me a bucket of shrimp, appetizer. Of course, I just lit into them. And then they brought her a salad, which they cooked, and she couldn't hardly eat that. And then they brought me my fish. It still had the eye in it, or it looked like the eye. The whole head was still on it. I'm like, and it was in the middle of the plate. I'm like, what goes with this? And so anyway, that meal was, that was back in 86 when we got married. That meal was $72 for a fried salad, some cold shrimp, eat shrimp, and some kind of a fish laying in the middle of the plate looked like blackened. They said it was blackened. Like, well, where's the food? But that was it. So I've never wanted to go and eat where rich people eat because they get cheated. They don't get nothing to eat. They get little bitty stuff in the middle of the plate. But just because you're rich people, you listen to Warren Buffett, it's a lot of things that we do that he don't do. And every time I listen to him talking about how to manage wealth, they don't do, they don't live like we live. And that's why they're rich. They don't take, they don't live check to check. And I heard somebody say it, rather than spending $7 on Starbucks, invest it. Okay? What is this, Robin Hood, this new investment app or whatever? They will help you for people who don't have a clue about investing. Robin Hood will help you to learn how to invest. They got funds where you can just index funds and you can just put your money in that. And there's the returns from it is straight up forward and straight out. But anyway, rather than spending all your money on stuff that's not going to yield you any returns, start putting it into something that's going to yield you returns. My wife and I took $50 a month, and we kept putting it into this Parkstone fund until it became $2,000. Then we closed the Parkstone fund and opened up two MetLife funds. And we took, she put hers with $1,000, I started mine with $1,000. And then we built them up until we retired, and then we took all of mine, lumped it into hers, and that's where it is now. But that all started with $50. And that's all it takes. But we don't like saving. We like spending. And if we can't spend, then people might think we're poor, and we can't have that. So we have to run around in clothes we can't even afford to have cleaned. Drive cars that we can't afford to get fixed. I remember all these people buying these Lincolns, you know, because it had the air ride system. You park it in the driveway and it leveled itself out. Well, what happens when the system breaks? Well, it costs $2,500 to replace it. And so that's when you started seeing these big Lincolns riding real low to the ground. Why? Because their air ride system blew out and they couldn't afford to fix it. And so we need to stop playing like we're rich. And then when you get rich, I got a friend, and I'm going to end with this. I got a friend right now. He's a friend of mine. He owns several classic cars and motorcycles. He owns I don't know how many properties, houses that he rent out. But if you saw him, you'd probably cross over on the side of the street thinking he finna ask you for some money or rob you. But no, he don't look rich, but he is. He don't look well off, but he is. When he get ready to get on the plane and go somewhere around the world, he get on the plane and go somewhere around the world, and he not worried about the bills he gonna leave behind. That's all taken care of. But if you looked at him, he doesn't look rich. He doesn't look wealthy, but he is. Money is not a problem. It's not an issue. And he teaches kids to be the same way. His daughter, I believe he bought her a food truck because rather than go to work for somebody, she wanted to be kind of like him, an entrepreneur. And none of them, he don't let none of his kids just sit around and be nothing. He taught them all by hard work and saving money and not spending your money on what he called dumb stuff. You don't say stuff, but okay, it's that you can be well off and do whatever you want, you know, when you want. But for us as Christians, God give us money. So real simple, this would be my super real close. Super real close. And this is so simple. But listen to why God give us money. Listen, he says here in verse 8, it says, of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, he says, and God is able to bless you abundantly. So that means, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. In other words, God expects us to help other people with what we get. Not just run around here trying to look rich, trying to look wealthy, trying to look well off, but making sure that I got everything I need and so much more that I can help them over there who are in need. So, yeah, money. We're going to be having a class on that coming up, biblical giving. We're going to talk about God's giving to us, and then the rest of the book is all about man giving to God and giving to man.
Maybe you could give us a worksheet or something when you teach the class this time. As far, I know you were saying keeping columns of what you spend and what you, yeah.
Yes.
What did you
say
about
a column of your income, and you'd be surprised at how many people don't know how much money they make,
right.
And then you'd be surprised as well as how many people don't know how much money they owe. And so you make two columns. You track your income, things that are cyclical. You know, stuff that happens over and over throughout the year, that's income, right? And then you have the expenses column. You add up the income, see exactly how much that is. You add up the expenses, see exactly how much that is. And you're going to find out the reality of your financial life. Either you are underwater or you're above the water. Either you are taking in more than you spend out or you're spending out more than you take in. You have two choices. If you find out that you are spending more than you make, got two choices. Increase your income, decrease your spending. And then there's, of course, the 10, 10, 30, 50. You definitely want 10% for God, 10% for you for saving, 30% to spend, okay, and then 50% to pay your bills. That's when you know your finances are working right, when those numbers fit. If all your money, like the new house speaker, is going to pay your bills, then you're probably not giving God nothing, and you're probably not giving yourself anything. You're not spending anything. It's all going to bills. That's because you are way over in expenses, way above spending way more than what you make. And so you need to fix that.
Good deal. Such a good topic. Money matters. Thank you, Pastor. That was good.
You're welcome.
So it's only two columns, income and expense.
That's it. You put in there, and you need to know. You'll be surprised at what you spend money on regularly. You might, in the course of a day, you might see it as I did this today, okay? But you, if you're doing it all week long, like you go to a McDonald's and spend $5 a day, 7 days a week, that's $35. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's $35 a week. That's $140 a month. You do the math for a whole year. And then you look at other little stuff that you spend $5 on a day, 7 days a week. And you will see where your money is going. Again, one of the funniest things to Lewitt said, I think T.D. Jake said it or somebody, but it was so funny because I didn't have a clue. He said, if God said I'll pay all your bills right now, if you can tell me exactly how much you owe. I did not know exactly how much I owed. But then when I found out how much I owed, I was like, wow, how did I even spend that much? How did I even get here? And then the journey started to get away from there. Took two tries, but you screw up $80,000 the first time, and you swear to God you're never gonna do that again. Then you screw up $76,000, and
do it again.
Well, it wasn't $80,000, but then when you get through $150,000, you know, you kind of learn that you probably don't want to do this again. So,
right.
But you'd be surprised at how much money. We can waste up through in the course of a week, not a year, a week. And it's funny. We'll go to some place and spend $40. You know, I mean, people who go to these games and spend $5 for a hot dog, or you can get a six-pack of beer for the price they charge for one. But we say, well, we're out having fun. You know, that's just the cost of living. No, it's not. That's you being not smart. That's not the cost of living. That's you.
Just going out the house. You just spend $1,000 just going out the house.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Let me go drag racing and have a bad day. You spend a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or you just let me get a hot ride and start building.
I was at Sam's Club early this morning, and I said, I'm not going in there. I took somebody out there. I said, I'm not going in there because I don't know how to act. I'm just staying in the car.
No, that's me. I end up, you know, way over.
Right.
Way over.
I don't even like the shop. And so once I get in there, I can't come out. So I'm like, I'm not going in. I'm going to stay in here and take a nap. So go on and get what you need.
Yeah, see that my thing is I was in my, after I got through with drag racing, I'm in my shed and I'm looking around and I'm like, wow, I have a lot of parts in here. And it turns out it was over $3,000 worth of parts that was just sitting in my shed. So I put a price on them, got in Facebook Marketplace and sold them all. You know, I see Gail Perry Mason Gail Perry Mason, right, all the time. And she's always promoting something to help people continuously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is really passionate about what she's doing, and she is really doing it. But when she mentioned her name, I knew exactly who she was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to follow her a long time ago, and I just... I'm going to look her back up again. Yeah, her and Bridge for.
Well, yes, she gets around, and she just, every time you look up, she's somewhere doing something. She's like Janine, you know, just some all the time busy somewhere doing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. But financial literacy.
Life work.
Yeah, we can use that.
Well, we're going to try our best just to get these kids on the right track, get our youth on the right track, because these are things that they need to know for future, for to be able to just take care of themselves. It just, we don't give them what they need. Like you say, they won't be able to give us nothing back. or do anything for themselves, you, mankind, or nobody. They'll just be just lost. And
yeah, they'll be in your basement.
And I know they'll be upset. They're going to be upset when they don't have what they need. Really, they're going to be upset. So we're just going to do our best and try to work with who we see in front of us on your block, help the youth on your block, do something so that our kids can have what they need to make it in this world. That's the focus right there. Yeah. Okay, good show. Thank you, Pastor O. Awesome. Thank you, Sister Jackie, and thank you, Sister Rebecca, and thanks to all of the callers with all that good information you gave today. Appreciate you. Let's see, Pastor O, we got church tomorrow. Saturday,
yes.
Church and Saturday school. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Pastor Janice Tate will be teaching at 9 a.m. And I believe it's Pastor Terrence Tate will be preaching at 10 a.m. And then on Sunday, same thing. Pastor Janice Tate teaching the Sunday school at church will be at the River Rouge High School just for 1 week, just for this Sunday. And then we'll be back to our regular home starting next Sunday. Okay, but she'll start teaching at 9 o'clock. And the worship service at 10 o'clock, and Pastor Janice Tate will be doing double duty, as she will also be preaching, closing us out at the school, since she was so instrumental with getting us a place to go when the church flooded out, that I thought it would be good for her to close us out there, since it was such a blessing for us to be able to have that place to go to while they were putting our church back together. So,
great.
Can't wait for that, because you know she always thorough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a good journey. So, yeah, glad to be back in our church, and we appreciate the high school for letting us be over there. So it was good. It was good all around. Yeah, still was able to get the word. Yeah. Okay, so if you don't have a church to go to, you could come and visit us this tomorrow. You could call the same number at 9 a.m. and join us, and then Sunday at River Ridge High School. If you don't have a place to go and you're just at home and want to tune in on Saturday, which is tomorrow, then you are welcome to do so. Okay? And I think that's it. We have my neighbor, Mrs. King. For you, those of you that know her, Miss Mildred King went home to be with the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. And her service is going to be at First Baptist on Tuesday of next week, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock family hour, and then 11 o'clock funeral, homegoing service. And then Monday she'll be at the Kernan Funeral Home for a family hour. So, yeah, good woman. And we're going to dedicate one of our shows to her. I can't wait, because that was our little queen on the block. So, great. So that's it. Next week we'll have another show. Let me see. Now, for Thanksgiving, Friday after Thanksgiving, that's going to be family time, so spend time with your family. And then in December, Christmas Eve, that Christmas week, we're not going to broadcast Friday or that new day after. I think New Year's, that Friday or before. I think it's 22nd and 29th. Those Fridays we're not going to have a show. Okay, because those are our time for family, and that's what this show is about. Bring back the family, block by block, focus on the youth. And so family is important, and hopefully we'll take that time to spend with family and be loving and kind and all that good stuff, and just get back to the way it used to be, or back, or a new way, whatever it is, just you know, love. Holidays are coming up, and it's all about love and sharing and caring and all that. So spend time with family and make it count. Make it count. Okay? All right. Is that all? We done, you guys? Everybody okay out there? Thanks. Thank you, everybody.
Well, one more thing. I usually get asked this question, usually coming down toward this year, so I'll get it out of the way now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will be doing the history of Christmas on the 21st of December. I think that's a Thursday, because I think Christmas Eve is that Sunday, well, Saturday. Saturday. So anyway, and we have our regular service. So on the 21st, I will be doing the history of Christmas.
Okay. Good deal. I like that story. It's almost like having a bedtime story. Put your pajamas on. It's quiet in the house. Light some candles. And he's telling that story. It's almost just like he's just telling a story, a bedtime story. And it's really good.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. The 21st. Yep. Get those pajamas on and light those candles. Oh, boy. Yep. Look forward to that, Pastor. Oh, thank you. That's it?
You're welcome. I'm
okay.
Good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Are you still with us?
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. And thank you, caller, for giving us that information. We're going to get our kids down there and to that junior achievement, because I used to go to that years ago, and it was a good program. Okay. All right. Well, as always, we have a lot of work to do. So that's what we're going to end with. We got work to do. See you next Friday.